mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 19. Warm. Shirong thought drowsily, curled on rocks in the Dailies' borrowed palace garden. Tugged his hat a bit lower, eyes still shut. No point in getting burned if he fell asleep out here. Which he might. Like most spirits of malice, the Haima Jiao hadn't just wounded his body. His chi was thin, depleted. He didn't feel up to much beyond flicking a pebble, even resting directly on nurturing earth. Sunlight seemed to help, sinking into his veins like a blessing. But when he thought of what he meant to ask of Li, stay calm and rest, Shirong advised himself, feeling familiar footsteps on the earth. Ask him and let him think. He's creative. Don't count it a lost cause just because you won't be in shape to help. I didn't think anybody could make rocks look comfortable, Li said wryly. Shirong cracked an eye open to blink at the healers, shifting a shoulder in an abbreviated shrug. Earth helps us heal. He glanced at Amaya directly. Are you well? Li was shaken up, and it barely touched his spirit. Malicious Kamui can make the strongest of us feel as though we've struggled free of a midden. I'm healing, Amaya said quietly. May I? Just don't ask me to look, Shirong stated, lifting clear the top layer of his robe. I'm still not sure I want to know how close it was. I can see why. Water-wrapped hands, soothing small aches. From another healer, that would have worried him. But Amaya had a good heart. She wouldn't have sounded thoughtful if there were any danger. What? She withdrew her hands and eyed her apprentice, who swallowed but didn't back down. It froze the life out of him, Li said plainly. I just tried to fix it. I think you overdid it, Amaya murmured. Overdid what? Shirong asked pointedly. Amaya glanced about the garden and raised a brow in silent question. We're alone, though Quan will be by later, Shirong answered. That hadn't been hard to arrange. Fortunately, everyone knew Amaya would never betray a patient. Li used a technique I reserved for emergencies, Amaya said simply. It's dangerous. And even when it succeeds, which it did, it disturbs the patient's chi for several days. She glanced skyward. You were fighting water and darkness. Until it settles, your chi will be seeking light and fire. She frowned slightly, then shook it off. I would say this is the best prescription. Rest, stone, and sunlight. She gave Li a serious look. Try not to do that again soon. The young man nodded, though he did glance wryly toward the inner wall, east towards Lake Laogai. Right, there's a limit to the promises you can keep when the spirits come knocking, Shirong reflected. And on that note, could I speak to Li in private? Blue eyes narrowed. If this is about trying to recruit a boy, I haven't even finished training yet. It's not, Shirong said hastily, as Li looked indignant. It's personal. To me, at least. The Long Feng won't see it that way. I am a Dai Li agent of Ba Sing Se. My city needs me to act, no matter what our leader orders. It still felt like stepping off a cliff. Breathe. Act calm. The less people who know, the better chance Li will have. If Li chose to help. Oh, Ma and Shu, please let him. I can't do this on my own. So he was going to enlist a teenage boy. Wonderful! Too bad he couldn't blame this on a concussion. The Avatar's teachers are even younger, and Lee's got sense when he has a chance to think. Which, oddly enough, reminded him of Timul again. The record had been blisteringly clear on the firebender's tendency to open mouth and insert foot. But there was something more. He set it aside. Amaya was making her way out of the garden, and Lee was frowning at him. Shirong took a reluctant breath and beckoned him closer. I need your help. Lee raked him with a checking you for missing limbs look he must have picked up from his teacher, and raised that lone brow. A Kamui? Not exactly. Shirong sighed. This is harder than I thought. Your uncle asked if there might be a reason the Haima Jia was in the lake. There is. He met Fiery Green squarely. The Avatar's bison is under Lake Laogai. Lee froze. Shirong could see panic trying to clench every muscle in the young man's body, seeking to drive him to flight. But Lee held still, breathing ragged, forcing himself to think. Why tell me? The blue spirit helped the Avatar once, Shirong said lovely. I grant you, after what happened at the North Pole, he might want to chain the Avatar to a rock and throw him off a pier, but I hope that the man wanted for raiding Pohai Stronghold might take pity on the citizens of Ba Sing Se. They don't deserve another Haima Jiao. I don't understand, Lee got out. It's an animal. It's smart, but... Gently, he's frightened and angry. I can't blame him. If the writings about Avatar Kyoshi are right, it's not just an animal, Shirong told him. It's the Avatar's animal guide. They're connected, spiritually. And when they're separated, the spirits get angry, Lee managed, barely above a whisper. Oh, agony. Shirong let out a relieved breath. He's holding it together. Oma and Shu, that kid is tough. I'm afraid it may be worse than that. Of course it is, Lee ground out, sat down on the grass, head lowered, forcing himself through a quick meditation, let out a sigh, and nodded. So what's the bad news? I found a report from General Fong about the Avatar State, Shirong said carefully. Found wasn't exactly accurate. It had landed on him yesterday, while he'd been on light duty sorting paperwork. He'd had a dizzy spell and staggered one way. An officious clerk had jerked another, and an entire shelf had collapsed on top of them. Onlookers had had to dig them both out of the scrolls, and he hadn't even realized he'd carried one off until later. He probably should have returned it, but he'd been sore and bored. He hadn't been bored since. Terrified, yes. Not bored. He noted, Shirong went on, still careful as picking his way across a slope of loose scree, that you could successfully induce this state by threatening something the Avatar cares about. Lee went white. Is he insane? If he is, oh, spirits, no. I fear the Grand Secretariat may have joined him. Shirong wet his lips. I can't let this happen to my city. I meant to do something, but... You'd get skewered before you got near Appa. Lee's voice was grim, green eyes glittering. Don't. You're too hurt to get away clean, and this is going to have to work right the first time. He blinked, and then buried his head in his hands as his own words sank in. Oh, hell. Hope stole Shirong's breath. You don't even have the floor plan. I didn't know the North Poles either. Lee lifted his head, smile wry. At least there won't be a blizzard. You broke into the... Shurong knuckled his brow, trying to ward off a headache. One of these days, we need to have a long talk. Lee smirked, then shivered, looking into memory. Fong's crazy. The Avatar looks like a 12-year-old kid. Peaceful, harmless, but when he's like that, Aang's not even there anymore. It's just the Avatar and the elements, and they're angry at you. They're angry at everything. You are going to do it. Shurong shook his head, trying to sort out the morass of relief and gratitude and sudden, sharp worry. I thought, after what you'd seen, the last thing I want to do is help Aang. Lee grated out, clenched his fists, breathed out, and deliberately straightened his fingers. Just so you know, their plan won't work. Admiral Zhao was arrogant and overconfident, and he never saw the ocean coming until it was too late. But Zhao's not out there. Azula is. She's a military genius, and she's read the reports. Lee smirked, cold and bitter. There's a reason the Fire Lord put her on his trail after Zhao failed. If anyone can figure out how to kill an Avatar, she can. Spirits, Shurong thought, shaken. He'd never even considered that. Just how high up was his uncle? No, don't ask. Yet. Thank you. Don't. Lee's voice was hard. What you're asking has a cost. Damn. Well, he'd done terrible things to save his city in the past. What was one more? Tell them I'm not suitable as a recruit. Shurong blinked, not sure if he should believe his own ears. What? I'm going to be acting against the Dai Li. You could never be sure I wouldn't do that again. Lee's eyes were hard as jade. I lost my honor a long time ago. I won't take yours down with it. For a long moment, words failed the agent. I never believed in the seven principles before. You know the principles? Lee asked warily. Avatar Kyoshi wrote them down while she was learning firebending, Shurong explained. Among other things. I thought the Fire Nation she knew was gone, drowned in a wave of blood. He smiled wryly. But you're not all gone, are you? Just scattered, living by your wits. And your honor. Though I suppose even wits have their limit. Tell your uncle everyone is convinced Jet was crazy, and I'm fairly sure no one else had time to notice the flames were too high. But he should be careful heating up steel. I didn't see him ignite your dagger, and if anyone else had, there would have already been an arrest. But tell him to stay low for a while. I'd miss his tea. My uncle's not a firebender. You, Shurong said dryly, are a terrible liar. He chuckled softly. I've seen you both move, and I've seen you both fight. What you didn't pick up from Amaya, you definitely learned from him. He shrugged, deliberately casual. Though I've never heard of any bender taking the time to train someone who can't touch their element. He's uncle, Lee said quietly. He knows I've got a lousy temper and awful luck. He tried to train me to stay alive. The waterbender glanced aside. I wasn't always a good student. Green eyes looked back up, hard. So, what are you gonna do? Do about what? Shurong said practically. Amaya saved my life. She's saved a lot of lives, no few of them my comrades. If it weren't for your uncle, we'd have lost her. All I intend to do is lie here in the sun and forget that night ever happened. Near-death memories can be very unclear, or so I've heard. He leaned back against the rocks. No, I think I'll just rest here and tell you about, well, some place you'll never see, since you've declined to be recruited. Taut as a bowstring, Lee listened. Tamul, Shurong said, surprised. The fact he'd been searching for finally surfacing from memory with that intent look from Lee. Ask your uncle about Tamul. She was a firebender a few centuries back. I think she tried something the opposite of what you've done, adapting waterbending moves to fire. Which hadn't made Avatar Kyoshi happy at all, if he recalled correctly. She'd kept the nation separate with a granite glove behind a golden warfan. And what she would have said about a mixed-blood waterbender probably couldn't be repeated in polite company. If he knows anything, it might help. Lee nodded once, obviously committing the name to memory. The lake? Ah, yes. Well, that's going to be tricky. The bison's here. The bison's here. Oh, Agni, what do I do? Dimly, Zuko recalled that Amaya had left him to head for the clinic, sending him on his way to teach Jinhai. He also remembered glaring at a scraggly-headed man who'd tried to pick his belt pouch, and assisting another overeager hand into a wall before he'd reclaimed enough common sense to get off the streets and up onto the roofs. No people up here. No conflicting voices to have to sort through for meaning when the whole world wanted to blur into a hiss of noise. Just the wind and the sounds of the city. Better. Breathe. In and out. You're panicking. Well, yes. The impulse to either gibber or beat somebody else's brains against a wall was a good clue. It wasn't fair. It just wasn't fair. Where the bison was, the Avatar couldn't be far away, and the plan wasn't ready. He hadn't had enough time. You can't panic here. Basics. When the world fell apart, stick to basics. He had new and unexpected intelligence on an opponent and target, and he was not reacting in a combat-ready manner. Strategic withdrawal. Find some place secure and re-examine your information. Meaning, decide on a location and move. Movement would help. Movement always helped. Katas, running, fighting, he moved better than he could put things into words. Always. So move. But move where? Clinic or uncle? The clinic would be safe, but Amaya had no experience with infiltration. She'd probably try to talk him out of this. And he couldn't walk away. His word depended on it. The whole city might depend on it. Uncle. A better tactical choice, given Iroh's experience with combat, strategy, and the Avatar. But it was the middle of the day, and dragging Uncle away from work might draw all kinds of unpleasant attention. Just because the Haimajia was dead didn't mean they might not still be watched. Like Jinhai might be... I have a pattern. The Dai Li know that. If I don't show up at the Wen house, they'll know something is wrong. And broken patterns would lead to curiosity about why they'd been broken. And if he did get Appa loose, they could trace it back to Shurong. Which would be bad. Not just for the agent. If they took him, they'd question him. And Shurong didn't have the defenses Amaya had given Lee. I've got to make things look normal. Jinhai's house, then. Move. Just get there. Get somewhere safe. Work out what to do after. A glance pinned down where he was, forcing himself into the narrow focus of, where am I? Where am I going? Zuko settled into a roof-feeding lope and tried not to think. The Dai Li would have seen him come by way of the rooftops before. This wouldn't look suspicious, he hoped. I can't take the streets right now. I'll break something. Or somebody. Which would upset Uncle and Amaya. Spirits, what was he going to tell them? Don't think about it. Alleys and roofs and balconies, and finally he dropped into a street near the Wens to at least look semi-respectable entering the house. One step at a time. Lee! Suyin's face was bright, sobered, seeing him. Is something wrong? I've had better days, Zuko said dryly, looked past her to Jinhai. We should stick to simple moves today. What we got Amaya out of, it was close. Too close.
What happened?
Miss Young stepped out of the kitchen, giving him a searching look.
You look like you've been raked over shattered ice.
Close. Almost drowned, Zuko admitted. There was a man named Kamui. We stopped it. He held up a hand before they could speak. If you want details, I'll tell you after practice. If I think about it before, it was too close. Falling, dodging, strikes with foot or fist or bladed hand. He walked them through it all, warmed by how much better they'd gotten in just a few weeks. I may never teach them again. No, no, damn it, my people need me. They need me here. There had to be a way. Jinhai was panting, glad to flop down in the garden by the time Zuko called a halt. Suyin was just as sweaty, but breathed easier, ducking inside to get her mother with a look of unbridled curiosity. Stepping out, Meixiang glanced over her sweating children and gave him a measuring look.
You stopped it.
I helped, Zuko stated, and gave them a brief account of that awful night, sparing the goriest of details, but not the key facts. The Haima Jiao had killed other waterbenders, tried to do worse to Amaya. Uncle says it's a spirit of warm oceans, deserts of the sea. Zuko finished. I wonder if that's why the water tribes stay near the poles. I wonder why something like that never went after Katara. She's been around enough bloodshed to draw them. Oh, idiot! She's always with the Avatar. The Haima Jiao might not have been the brightest spirit on the block, but I doubt any of them are that stupid. She lost all her people? Suyin sniffled and swiped at her eyes. That's awful!
You're her people too, you know, Zuko told her. She cares about you. A lot.
I know, but do you think it would help if we told her about the Southern Water Tribe boy here?
No, it can't be. The Avatar's bison was here. It damn well could be.
What Southern Water Tribe boy? Zuko ground out. Jinhai scrunched into his mother's arms, wide-eyed. Even Suyin paled.
Gia said his name was Sokka.
Words vanished in a white hiss of fury. Don't move. Don't do anything. Head down, fists clenched on his green robe, Zuko breathed and forced himself to stay still. Move and the simmering cauldron of rage and fear and frustration would tip over, spilling into a wave of fire that would reach out and destroy. These are your allies. These are your people. Don't move.
Back up. Tell me where. It's all right. Sometimes the great names.
Meixiang's voice, worried but not frightened. Thank Agni, not frightened. Don't give me a target, please. I'm so angry. And afraid. So desperately afraid. Everything he'd built, everything he'd tried to plan, it was all coming apart, like folded paper cast into flames.
My lord, can you hear me yet? My lord, my blade is yours against your enemies.
She needs me. Zuko forced himself to look up, dragging back words and meanings to human voices. Meixiang was kneeling in front of him, dagger casting back the sun by her side.
Don't do that, Zuko rasped, trying to slow his racing heart. I'm not your lord.
Yes, Meixiang said simply.
You are.
But she looked up, searching his face with concern and relief.
You've banked the fury. You can understand my words.
Zuko flinched. How did you?
It happens to some firebenders.
Tension eased from Mei Xiang's frame.
I knew one, years ago. My grandfather called it Dragon's Rage. Dragons aren't hatched with the skill to speak. Not like humans are. When fury takes them, they can lose the art of it. And words seem but whistles in the wind. So?
A graceful gesture toward herself, kneeling.
You are Lord here, and you know I follow. This calms the dragon in the blood and lets you reclaim human words.
At his look of confusion, she frowned.
Hasn't your uncle told you this?
This doesn't happen to my uncle. Dragon's blood? He'd heard the legends, like everyone else, but she can't be serious.
But I thought your family's line...
Mei Xiang closed her mouth, wincing. What do you know about my family? Zuko demanded.
I know you are great names.
Mei Xiang looked troubled.
But if it isn't from your uncle's side, then...
Green eyes widened.
Oh, you said your mother was a healer.
It isn't her fault! Zuko blazed, shuddered, and hauled in his temper with trembling hands. I'm not good enough. I don't know why it happens. Everything just burns inside and the words fly away.
Not her fault, Mei Xiang said firmly. Her heritage. It happens.
She made her blade disappear up her sleeve.
Is this Sokka your enemy?
He's 15. But Azula was 14. Did it make any difference? He has been. Zuko picked his words. He's an ally of the Avatar, who has been declared a threat to the Fire Nation.
Oh.
A breath, more than a word. Eyes green from Amaya's water, wincing with hurt.
A task you could never survive alone. Spirits, Lee. You're just one bender.
But I'm not Lee. Those are the terms, Zuko said harshly. I gave my word. Silence, taut between them. Zuko dipped his head and started to rise. I'm sorry.
My lord, with all due respect, stay right there.
He sank back down, taken aback. That? Definitely angry mom mode. Which stung his pride. She was not his mother. He didn't need looking after. But I need help, Zuko admitted to himself, swallowing the acid burn. I can't do this on my own. I need any help I can get.
I never thought I'd be glad for sitting through so many faculty meetings. What did you promise the Fire Lord to do?
Mei Xiang said bluntly.
What did you promise exactly?
I never spoke to him, Zuko admitted painfully. He wouldn't see me after. Someone delivered the terms.
Terms that shattered his life and exiled him forever. Wiggle room,
Mei Xiang murmured, nodded.
So, what did you promise to do?
Even through cloth, fingernails bit into his palms. To capture the Avatar, and his threat to the Fire Nation, to my people.
And who are we?
Mei Xiang said bluntly.
Myself, Huojin, our children, all of us. Who are we, my lord?
My people? Zuko wiped sweat off his face. My head hurts.
My heart hurts. I can only imagine.
She inched closer. Slow and cautious.
Are you going to talk to your uncle?
Jerkily, he nodded. Have to. Zuko got out. There's more than Sokka. You don't know. Have to make sure the bison isn't there anymore. Need to get the damn spirits to stop using the city as target practice. White noise threatened to close in again. He cradled his head in his hands.
Wait. Just a little longer.
Mei Xiang rose and hurried into the house, came back shortly, drawing a pale Su Yin in her wake.
Go with Lee. Make sure he gets to his uncle, then come home.
Okay, Suyin said uncertainly. What's wrong?
It's complicated.
Miss Young bent and whispered something in the girl's ear. Suyin started and gulped. Stepping away, Miss Young regarded Zuko again.
My lord, I trust you will see that my daughter is safe with you.
So I don't do anything stupid while she's there. Zuko clung to that with relief. I'll be careful.
You'd better be, Mace Young said bluntly. We need you, more than you know.
What do you mean he's not here? Suyin tried not to flinch at the raw edge in Lee's voice. It helped that Pao looked more morose than angry, sniffing a cup of his own tea and groaning.
I mean he quit, the tea shop owner lamented. That noble rascal Quan offered him his own shop in the Upper Ring, and he took it, even after I offered him the position of senior executive assistant manager.
And how would that be different from what he was doing? Lee said dryly.
He'd make more tea?
Lee looked like he didn't know whether to laugh or cry or set something on fire.
Stay with him so he stays alive, her mother had said. I'll explain later. Be careful.
Which was even scarier than traveling the lower ring on her own. Though walking with Lee seemed to make people she'd usually worry about find other places to be.
It's good news, right? Suyin ventured. He'd want to tell you, and you're usually at the clinic now.
For a moment, Lee seemed to look through her, focused, and nodded. You could talk to him, Pao almost pounced. Thought better of it at Lee's narrowed eyes. Convince him to come back. Uncle loves tea, Lee said bluntly. If he left, he's not coming back. Pao wailed as they left.
You could have been a little nicer, Suyin scolded him as they went down the street.
Even if you're having a bad day, you have no idea. Lee shook his head and tried to rein in his tone. Suyin, the last thing Pao needs is for me or Uncle to be there. Things could get bad. Fast.
How bad? Suyin wanted to ask, and was afraid to.
Will you tell me, at Amaya's? Your mother told you to get me to Uncle and go home. She doesn't want you getting hurt.
Boys, we don't want you getting hurt either.
I can't. You shouldn't. Lee gripped the bridge of his nose and sighed. Ask Uncle. I'm not thinking very well right now.
Well, at least he knew that, which put him one up on Min.
And Uncle was at the clinic, grinning as he shared tea with Amaya. A grin that slipped into sober worry the moment he saw Lee.
Nephew?
Lee glanced around the edge of the screens that partitioned off resting patients, forced a smile for a mother nursing a no longer feverish baby, stepped close so his words wouldn't reach past the screen. The bison's under Lake Laogai. He jabbed a thumb towards Suyin, and she knows something about Sokka. He dipped his head to Amaya. Master Amaya, I'm going to go break some ice in your garden. Maybe a lot of ice. Silent footsteps, and he was gone.
Oh, dear. Uncle looked grave. What is it you know, Miss Suyin?
Well, ice creaked and cracked, loud as mean shattering rocks.
He's somewhere in the upper ring, Suyin said in a rush. He has to be, or he wouldn't have fallen into Madame Makmu Ling's class. Gia saw him there. He's Southern Water Tribe. I thought maybe you'd like to talk to him.
She looked at Amaya, eyes wide.
Lee was acting weird before I told him. Kept the lessons really simple, like he was trying not to think about something. And then when I said Sokka's name, I thought it was scary.
I would think it was, Uncle murmured. Tell me what you know, and exactly
exactly what you saw. They're here, Zuko thought, shards of ice melting around him. Those idiots are here. I have to do something. I have to. Something. But what? Even if I can find him. Oh, take that as a given. Where Sokka was, the Avatar wouldn't be too far away. If I can find him, it's just me and Uncle in the middle of Ba Sing Se. If he goes into the Avatar state, thousands of people could get hurt. Not that he could let that matter when his duty to his nation was on the line. But my people are here, too. What do I do? I can't do nothing, but I don't know what to... Panic, an old enemy. He knew the coppery taste of it, the way it bent the world into enemy and destroy and blocked out any words that argued otherwise. Reaching back to Uncle's lessons in survival, Zuko sat down. Ow. Knelt, brushed away a few chunks of ice, and sat again. And breathed. Survival. Basics. What do you have? What do you need? He had information on the Avatar and the Bison. He needed my people safe. If he captured the Avatar, they would be safe. Can I do that? Zuko drove doubt home mercilessly. Lives were at stake, not just his honor. He couldn't afford to be optimistic. He couldn't afford to be wrong. He's the Avatar, master of air, probably master of water and earth by this time. I'm not even a master of fire. And with water, Katara could thrash me up, down, and sideways. I know healing, but Amaya and I are teaching ourselves combat moves. Against a trained waterbender, we'd be toast. He's the Avatar, and he's not alone. And I know how the Daili like to keep things quiet. I can't fight them all. Remember what Uncle said. Azula could catch the Avatar, but could she hold him without killing him? I can't. It hurt, like fire, like clutching the shattered edge of an icy lake, cutting and numbing and hurting all the worse for it. I am not going to cry. Zuko hugged his knees for long minutes, trying not to think. Pain was not the enemy. People thought it was, but it wasn't. Pain was a warning. Something is amiss. Something is about to break. But he was already broken. There was nothing to do but accept the pain and wait until he'd suffered enough, until it sank into his very bones where it could be acknowledged. And ignored. I can't capture the Avatar, but I have to protect my people. Inside and outside the walls. Hagni, this was so like the North Pole. How could the Avatar be this stupid twice? I wish I could yell at him. I wish I could pick him up and shake him until his teeth rattled. Something white blew in the wind. Climb, leap, and scramble. Zuko gained the clinic's roof, snatched paper from the air. A flyer, neatly, professionally inked, with a picture of a creature most hadn't seen for 100 years. Zuko shook a fist at the sky, wishing he knew enough about air spirits to castigate them all to the lowest bowels of Ko's lair. I know already!
Do you think it was wise to leave him behind? Amaya frowned as they headed into the inner ring, glancing back as if she expected the young firebender to melt out of the crowds. He promised he would stay, Iroh said gravely, and he keeps his promises. Usually. He asked us to scout the situation. That means he is thinking. But if he's planning to...
We do not know what he is planning,
Iroh interrupted.
But if he meant to be reckless and impulsive, he would have acted by now.
Amaya rolled her eyes. You're his uncle. Can't you simply tell him no?
Technically, no.
The healer choked mid-breath and glared at him.
Tui and Law, why not? A crown prince outranks a general, Iroh said plainly. If I had ever given him orders in front of the men, it would have undermined discipline, which is very bad aboard any ship, much less a ship full of firebenders.
No wonder he has an attitude problem.
Part of that was his injury, I imagine. But yes, Iroh acknowledged. I was always glad when we could go ashore, away from other eyes. Then I could be the father he needed, and not just an old man of high rank. He smiled. In a way, my nephew's raid on the North Pole was the best thing to happen to us in a long time. Had we not been cut off from the Fire Nation and cast adrift on our own resources, I would never have been truly able to act as his uncle and his master. And he needed me more than I knew.
He needs you to tell him no, Amaya said practically.
I will not, Iroh said soberly. His honor and his loyalty are at stake, as are the lives of every being in Ba Sing Se. The longer the Avatar remains here, the more time the Fire Nation has to muster its forces against the city.
They've tried to conquer us for years.
Amaya cast him a look in askance.
You should know.
The last siege meant to conquer, yes, Iroh said soberly. But the Fire Lord knows full well what strength the Avatar may gain. He knows no other creature can hope to slay his armies in their very tracks. So long as the Avatar remains within these walls, the Fire Nation's goal will not be to conquer. It will be to destroy.
He had to look away.
You have not seen what Sozin's line can do when they wish to destroy. Remember the Airbenders. Remember Sozin's forces destroyed their nation within a day.
He shook his head.
That is what awaits Ba Sing Se, should the Avatar remain.
Amaya swallowed, pale.
So I will argue with my nephew. I will advise him as best I can, but I will not tell him not to act.
Iroh smiled wryly.
We have patched our vessel in the midst of a raging storm. Now we must see if it will hold, and be prepared to bail.
You have tremendous faith in that boy.
He has more of his father in him than he wishes to think, Iroh stated. And that is not so ill a heritage as you might first believe. His mother was gentle, kind, and honorable. She also avoided conflict unless there was no other choice. And by then, much damage had been done. While my family, well, we have no qualms about striking first, and unleashing enough force that no further blow is needed.
He shrugged.
I have tried to teach him to balance the two. With luck, we have succeeded. Is this the house?
The right address, according to the flyer.
Amaya nodded at the small mansion on their right.
That just seems so odd.
At the South Pole, we were the only ship in range to see the light of the Avatar's awakening, Iroh said plainly. We made port to find a replacement lotus tile and found pirates from whom Katara had just stolen a waterbending scroll. Another time, we pulled in at a prison barge to resupply with coal and found her necklace, and then a bounty hunter who could track them from it. Even traveling by ourselves in the midst of the plains with no desire or thought of finding the Avatar, we have found bison fur and met again.
He sighed.
My nephew is a skilled tracker, determined and well taught in predicting his foes. But I believe the spirits want my nephew to chase the Avatar.
His eyes narrowed.
To chase, but not to catch. So many times Aang has slipped from his fingers. If I ever meet those who have plotted so cruelly, we will have words.
Invite me along, Amaya murmured. Lee has a gift. He may not be as swift to catch on as some I've seen, but he's thorough. He doesn't just heal what he sees and assume he's done. He listens to the energies.
She gave Iroh a determined look.
Make this work.
I want him back. Iroh bowed to her and slipped out of sight behind the Avatar's house, took a lump of flint from his sleeve, and quietly banged on the foundation. Let us hope I am right, and the blind bandit sees more clearly than most who think they have eyes. Thump, thump, thump. Toph sighed and hid a grimace. Bouncing her ball against the wall didn't quite cover the rustle of Katara and Sokka playing cards, but it did break up the patter of Aang's anxious feet as he burst back in through the front door with Momo. I just finished dropping all the leaflets. Has anyone come in with news about Appa? And the connection Twinkletoes apparently couldn't make between those two sentences was why Toph sometimes felt like beating her brains out rather than trying to teach him earthbending. Oh, Aang was good enough to beat the robes off most earthbenders. He had more power than any other bender she'd ever seen, and power could cover for a lot of slipshod bending. But if he took the time to do it right, he could do so much more. Aang didn't want to take the time to do it right. Get a move down enough to make it work and push on. In a way, Toph could understand that. Aang was up against an end-of-summer deadline to throw down with the Fire Lord, and the more he did before that, the better. What she couldn't sympathize with was Aang's attitude towards training. If it'd been her with the fate of the world at stake, she'd be up before dawn and fall into bed only when she couldn't move anymore. Aang seemed to think train hard meant train until I get tired, bored, or spot a butterfly. Lesson after lesson, she'd tried to thump that out of him. But every time she got him near the edge, every time she thought she'd get Aang to understand you could go way beyond the point it started to hurt if you had to... It's only been a day. Katara fluttered her cards. Just be patient. Yep. Katara swooped in to kiss it better. It made Toph want to tear her hair out. Or burrow into the ground and not come out. She felt Aang's chin hit the table as he sighed, almost heavy enough to cover the no-nonsense stride, walking up to the door. Medium weight, she'd guess a bit taller than Katara, and definitely a woman. A knock, and Aang finally realized someone was there. Wow, you're right, patience really pays off. He swept towards the door. Hi, are you here about Appa?
I came to meet some distant relatives.
The woman sounded about as old as Toph's mother.
I hear there are Southern Water tribesmen here.
You're here to see Sokka? Katara's voice dripped disbelief. Wait, you're Northern Water Tribe. What are you doing in Ba Sing Se?
Healing, mostly.
Toph tuned the rest of the pleasantries out, struck by a familiar rhythm echoing through the floor. That was the opening theme of the Earth Rumble tournaments? Somebody wants to talk to the blind bandit. She snuck out the back door, listening and feeling and grinned. Hey, uncle.
Good afternoon, Toph.
She sensed Iroh's polite bow and the shift of his weight, and stepped into the cool of shadows beside him. Should I even ask how you got in here, or just chalk it up to you being a sneaky old dragon? Iroh chuckled.
It's a very long story, I'm afraid, and one I would prefer not to tell here, where the Dai Li are watching. Though I do not think they can see us here, and Amaya is likely distracting enough, speaking to Katara and Sokka of her tribe and theirs, that we should have some time to talk.
Toph raised a brow. You know the lady inside?
She is a very good friend.
A lot more than that from the joy and good humor seeping past the worry in his stance. All right, uncle. So you want to talk to me? Toph realized. And you want to do it without them? She jerked a thumb back toward the house. Because they know where you are, your nephew's not far, and Katara's still ticked off he tied her to a tree.
Not the most comfortable of captivities, Iroh allowed. He could have been far more gentle, true, but it kept her under our eyes, in clear sight, which prevented the pirates from doing many things.
The pirates who were working for Zuko? Toph said pointedly.
The pirates who had allied with my nephew to win back the waterbending scroll Katara stole from them.
Iroh answered dryly.
Very few steal from pirates and live to tell of it. Those who do, especially young women, often wish they had not.
Sugar Queen kinda left out that part. Toph frowned. She'd known Katara hadn't told her everything. But stealing? And Iroh wasn't lying.
Okay, I'm listening. My nephew and I know where Appa may be found, but we need an earthbender's assistance.
And you want my help?
Toph crossed her arms.
Aren't you two trying to catch Aang?
I would prefer not to, Iroh said plainly. The world has been out of balance long enough. But my nephew, he sighed. My nephew is making a difficult decision. I cannot be certain what he will choose to do. But I think, if he were offered help where he expects none, and words of good sense from an ally of Aang's who does not hate him.
Hope she could feel in that upright stance. Desperate worry, probably for Zuko. Some controlled fear even now for her and the people inside. Put that together with what he'd said about pirates.
We're in trouble, huh? Toph blurted out. Grave danger indeed, Iroh nodded. Enough that I believe my nephew would risk his life to protect you, if he were forced to. And he would be risking our lives. If the Dai Li learned there were folk of the Fire Nation in Ba Sing Se, it would not be well.
Not just for you, Toph thought, remembering a laughing guard and happy children.
Okay, you talked me into it. She held up a hand before he could respond.
Into hearing him out, anyway. I don't like what he has to say. I'm leaving. And if either of you go after Aang, the blind bandit is going to rock. Get me?
Very clearly.
Amusement and respect, shimmering through the earth and his voice.
Good, Toph nodded. Just let me tell them something.
Huh.
Yeah, that'd work. Aang wasn't exactly fond of hunting up his own lessons. I'll tell them I'm going to see Luli again.
Aang just doesn't get Jade.
Luli, Huojin's wife?
Iroh interrupted. You know her?
I do, Iroh nodded. Though they do not know my name, and my nephew they know only as Li.
He paused, thinking.
I would be quite willing to meet you there, where we both have a friend, and where the presence of a guard means no one will be impulsive.
Neutral ground? He is serious. And it'll be easier to slip by Dai Li if we don't show up together, Toph agreed, and grinned. Well, get moving. I want to hear what Sparky has to say for himself.
Sparky? Indeed.
Chuckling, Iroh slipped quietly away. Okay, here we go. Toph headed back inside and drew a breath.
Guys! There was a rapping at the door and Aang ran for it. Maybe this is it!
He opened the door and blinked. Judy? Amaya stepped back, out of what Toph realized must be line of sight.
Hello, Aang and Katara and Sokka and Toph.
Judy said with that eerie cheer.
What happened to you?
Sokka asked, crowding forward with Katara.
Did the Dai Li throw you in jail?
What?
Jail? Judy said dismissively.
Of course not. The Dai Li are the protectors of our cultural heritage.
Scary thing was, she seemed to believe that. But you disappeared at the Earth King's party, Toph said, crowding around with the others. If Amaya didn't want to be seen, there was probably a good reason.
Oh, I simply took a short vacation to Lake Laogai out in the country, Judy said cheerfully. It was quite relaxing.
From the shift of his feet, Sokka didn't buy that.
which made Toph wish all over again that he wasn't stuck on Suki. Sokka wasn't half bad. But then they replaced you with some other woman who also said her name was Judy. Katara objected. I'm Judy. Clue, Katara. Toph wanted to yell. Something's wrong here. Why are you here? Aang asked. Paper rustled as Judy pulled something out. Dropping flyers and putting up posters isn't permitted within the city. Not without proper clearance. Of course it wasn't. Sheesh! Why were they in this city again? Because Aang can't live without Appa. Almost literally, seems like. We can't wait around to get permission for everything, Sokka objected. Ah, at last he gets it. Toph almost threw up her hands and cheered. You are absolutely forbidden by the rules of the city to continue putting up posters. Okay, that was freaky. Nobody should sound that cheerful stomping on somebody's plans. Uh-oh. That tensing of Aang's feet was really not good. We don't care about the rules, and we're not asking permission, Aang yelled. Toph smirked. Now why couldn't she get some of that when he was training? We're finding Appa on our own, Aang went on, backing the startled woman out the door. And you should just stay out of our way. He slammed the door, Judy on the other side. That might come back to bite us in the blubber, Sokka said thoughtfully. More than you know, Amaya spoke up. She'll be reporting this to the Dai Li. The system is fairly regimented, so it may not be heard for some hours. But a report from this Judy will have priority, given she's been assigned to the Avatar's party. This Judy? Katara pounced. You make it sound like there's more than one. There are hundreds. Uncle's right, Toph thought, chilled. We are in trouble. That can't be right, Aang objected, still fuming. I mean, two women with the same name, sure, but hundreds? Li was right, Amaya muttered under her breath, too quiet for any but Toph's sharp ears to catch. You are naive. She rocked back on her heels a little, and Toph felt a cold anger shiver through the floor. You're a healer, Katara. Didn't you ever try to treat them? Treat what? Katara shrugged. Judy, whoever she is, they're weird. They're not hurt. Yugoda should have covered mental trauma in your second week of training. Yeah, well, Sokka shrugged. Katara really trained with that old sea prune Paku. It was awesome! Some of the frustration washed out of Aang's stance, and he bounced, grinning. He said he wouldn't teach her, and she cracked the audience chamber floor and threw razor discs of ice at him and shoved off his water. You're not a trained healer. Amaya's words knifed across Aang's exuberance. You have Master Paku's betrothal necklace. I thought for certain you must be trained. I hoped you knew, and were only biding your time until you could find a way to escape. Not that most of us have a chance to escape Longfeng's reach. She breathed out a chill wisp, anger and sorrow warring in her stance. My necklace is from my mother, Katara said angrily. Grand-Grand Kana brought it with her, and I am trained. She really is, Aang insisted, hands out to smooth things over. She's my waterbending master. And I thought Li lost his temper too easily, Amaya said, half to herself. She shook her head. I can't stay. The Dai Li will give me some leeway because my healing is useful to them, but I dare not presume on their goodwill. A breath. Do not let the Dai Li know you are not fully trained. It's probably all that has kept Long Feng from taking one of you and damaging your minds. You are not Fire Nation. You wouldn't have the strength to resist, even long enough to be rescued. How can you say they're better than us? Katara gasped. Don't you know what they've done? What they tried to do? They tried to kill the moon! Sokka shifted, feeling for his boomerang, and Toph grimaced.
That's it. Nobody's going to listen now. From Amaya's soft sigh, she could see that without earthbending.
I said their minds were stronger, more resistant to what Longfeng can do. To a point. They'll break, but they will not bend.
She drew herself up, and Toph could feel her simmering anger as she pointed towards Aang.
If you refuse to understand that, Avatar, if you refuse to learn why and where they have gained such strength, then you will never learn firebending, and the world will remain out of balance, and all of us will suffer.
No, it won't, Aang insisted. I'll defeat the Fire Lord, and the war will be over. And I'm never going to learn firebending.
Toph felt his glance at Katara in the catch of his breath.
I'm never going to hurt someone I care about again.
Then there's nothing more I can do, Amaya said simply. I wish you luck, and I hope you escape.
That's it? Sokka sputtered. Your water tribe. You know the Dai Li are bad guys. Help us out.
I am Water Tribe.
Almost at the door, Amaya's voice was iron.
I am the last of the Water Tribe within these walls, save for you and my apprentice, Lee.
Sparky is her apprentice? Toph bit back a whistle, and he's letting her call him Water Tribe?
2 weeks ago, there were almost 20 of us, benders and not.
Amaya went on, grief and pain seeping into the floor around her.
They're all dead now, because of the war, because the spirits are restless, because one malicious Kamui followed a trail of blood to Ba Sing Se, and you...
She took one long step towards Aang, who shrank back.
You sensed nothing.
I didn't know, Aang stammered. I didn't... Why didn't somebody tell me?
Because there is no war in Ba Sing Se, Amaya said darkly. Long Feng wants you kept quiet, contained, until he can find a way to use you, the way he does everyone.
She's guessing, Toph judged, but she's pretty sure.
And you're the Avatar. You are supposed to sense when the spirits are angry.
Pain rang through Amaya's voice.
The Dai Li are only human. Gifted benders, but human. Still, they tracked it. They found it. They stopped it. Some of them died stopping it. I owe them my life.
She focused on Sokka.
Call them evil, if you will. But for a century, the Avatar abandoned this world. And they have... been all that stood between Ba Sing Se and destruction.
She shook her head.
I'm going home now. I hope you find your bison and leave.
The door closed like a tomb.
And I thought the Judees were weird, Katara said uneasily.
She was telling the truth, Toph spoke up. She was angry and scared, but it was real. Which the Judees weren't. They didn't lie, but they didn't exactly feel when they said stuff. Not like regular people did. But she can't be, Aang protested. I would have known. I'm the Avatar. Okay, Toph shrugged. So how does this spirit-sensey thing of yours work again?
I hate to admit it, but Amaya could be right, Sokka said reluctantly.
I'm not saying she is, he added hastily at Aang's wounded twitch. But you were right there at the pond in the spirit oasis, and you didn't know what the fish were until after you went poof and left your body where Zuko could catch it.
We got you back, Katara said grimly. But Yue?
Yeah, I'll never forgive Prince Ponytail for that either. Sokka blew out a breath.
Thing is, Aang, we don't know. And I'm kind of getting a bad feeling about how much we don't know about this place.
So you want us to go along with Judy? Aang demanded. Just stay put while Appa's out there?
I didn't say that.
Good. Because from now on, we do whatever it takes to find Appa.
Yeah! Toph cheered.
feeling his glare in her feet. Finally, some backbone. Keep it up and we can get somewhere. So what are we going to do? Bury the Dai Li? Storm the palace? Kidnap the Earth King? Hey, if they were going to break rules, why not go all the way?
I kind of thought we'd put up the posters, Aang admitted.
Forehead, meet palm, repeat. She felt like doing it all over again as Sokka, Aang, and Katara moved through the city, plastering up posters. We'll split up to cover more area, Sokka said, satisfied. Toph, I guess you should just come with me.
Better idea, Snoozles, Toph said peevishly. I'm going to go find Luli again. There's something I want to ask her, and if we do find Appa, I'm not sticking around long enough to get another chance.
Ditched him. Finally. Which meant she could think, as she made her way through busy streets. And a wince. This could be a bad idea. Well, maybe. Uncle seemed to be a pretty good guy, and everything Toph had heard about the Dragon of the West said he was one of the most honorable firebenders out there. If he said they wanted to talk, she believed him. Zuko's honor-bound to catch Aang. This could still be a trap. Except the exiled prince might be a lot of things, but he wasn't stupid. He'd let them take off back at the ghost town so he could look after Uncle and beat feet before Azula came back. And here he was in the very heart of the Earth Kingdom, trying to stay out of sight as a waterbending healer's apprentice. And how Sparky's pulling that off, I really want to know. If he'd been smart enough to keep from jumping Aang then, honor or no honor, he'd be smart enough to play fair now. At least while they talked. After, she wouldn't bet on. But then she'd know where he was. And if the rest of the guys aren't there to blame Yue dying on him, we might really be able to talk. Why Sokka pinned Princess Yue's death on Zuko, Toph still couldn't figure out. From what they'd said, Zhao had grabbed the moon after they'd gotten back from Zuko's kidnap attempt. Sparky himself had been out cold and tied up in Appa's saddle, unable to tilt the fight either way. And Uncle had tried to stop Zhao. General Iroh used to be the crown prince too, and he's Zuko's uncle. Katara said he said everybody needs the moon, even the Fire Nation. If he fought for the moon, what makes them think Zuko wouldn't have? Oh yeah, right. Fire Nation bad, Earth Kingdom and Water Tribe good. Sheesh. She'd told them. Maybe she hadn't found the right words. Maybe she didn't know as much about the Water Tribes as she'd thought. And Zuko had somehow given them some kind of dire insult that could never be forgiven. Whatever it was, they didn't seem to want to hear that. Based on everything Toph knew, Zuko's only interest was Aang. Not the Water Tribes, not the Earth Kingdom, the Avatar. That was it. Heck, even Suki'd admitted that Zuko left Kyoshi Island after Aang took off. Left and didn't come back. He deserves a chance for someone to hear him out, Toph smirked and cracked her knuckles. And if that doesn't work, if sweetness can take him, so can I. Breezing through the carver's shop, Toph stepped into the garden and headed for voices.
How about the jasmine dragon? Iroh said heartily. It's dramatic, poetic, has a nice ring to it.
How can you think about tea shop names at a time like this?
Zuko groaned.
Who knows? We might get lucky. The tea weevil. No, that's stupid.
Toph, Zuko said flatly, rising.
A good name, yes, but already taken.
He means Toph's here, Huojin said, amused. Afternoon, Miss Beifong. You know these two walking disaster areas?
Huojin, Zuko protested.
We met once.
Iroh smiled. Briefly.
Yeah, but it was the kind of meeting you never forget.
Toph grinned, cocked her head, listening to Zuko move across the garden to give her a civil nod.
Huh, you really are Amaya's apprentice.
What? Your stance is different. Still strong, still aggressive, but lighter, more fluid,
less straight in, and more of a hint of circling that would deflect away a strike before it could ever land. Less Dillo Lion and more dragon. But I didn't come to talk bending, Toph said bluntly, sitting down across from them. I know your honor means you've got to catch Aang for the Fire Lord. What? Wojin burst out. Patience, if you will, Iroh said graciously, seating himself. Zuko settled down by him, still tense. We are here to discuss matters amicably, and hopefully avoid violence. Thank the spirits, Luli's taking the kids to Meishang's tonight, Wojin muttered, reluctantly sitting. Wise, Iroh murmured. You may need an alibi. Oh, I really didn't need to hear that. I know the terms are you've got to catch him, Toph forged on. And I know you're not getting him unless you go through me first. So, what have we got to talk about? Lee, she's just a kid, Wojin started. Hey, Toph objected. She's a master earthbender and an honorable opponent, Zuko said plainly. We're negotiating a temporary alliance. She's got every right to be blunt. Still not hearing any reason we should work together, Toph crossed her arms. Knowing where Appa is isn't enough. If you can find him, we can. But not in time, Zuko said levelly. You need to get out of Ba Sing Se. You need to get out now. That's what Amaya said. Toph nodded, paying careful attention to Iroh's stillness. He was waiting, hoping. You want to tell me why? Did your friends tell you what happened at the North Pole? Crazy spirits, Fire Navy go squish? Toph said, knowing she was pushing it. If Sparky's gonna fly off the handle, I need to know now. Zuko tensed, but forced himself to stay still. The people in charge here are trying to make that happen again. Toph froze. No, no way. Aang hates what happened there. She'd heard plenty about that, and about General Fong's pushing Aang into the kind of Avatar freakout that had blasted sandbenders halfway across Si Wong Desert, and felt a lot more in what Sokka and Katara didn't say about the general they'd met on the wall. Maybe glowing it up like that could take out the Fire Nation army, but he doesn't want to do stuff like that again. Not ever. That makes two of us, Zuko said grimly. That's why I'm going to help you. Oh, Toph tried not to react. Oh, wow. This is big. Nephew? Iroh asked carefully. Yeah, Toph thought. Get him to spell it out. I think I know what he's getting at, but... Whoa. Honor doesn't demand suicide, Zuko said bitterly. Toph could feel his hands clenching on cloth in the way the ground vibrated under him. I can't capture the Avatar in Ba Sing Se, not without exposing myself as a firebender. If I do that... He took a shaky breath. If I do that, I'm dead. And not just me. The Dai Li will go after anyone who's helped me. Anyone they even suspect might know who I am. Because there is no war in Ba Sing Se. Another breath. Another clench of muscle and bone. If I try to capture the Avatar here, I'll die. And I'll die a failure. I fear that is so. You would need tremendous luck to succeed and survive. And luck does not favor you. It never has, Zuko muttered, bent his head and sighed. If I can't serve my people by capturing the Avatar, then the best thing I can do is keep something like the North Pole from happening again. He looked straight at her. Appa's under Lake Laogai. Will you help us get him out? Should I even be listening to this? Wojin muttered. Well, I hear the Dai Li deny the Bison is even there, Iroh said mildly. And he does belong with the Avatar. Surely what they do not admit they have cannot be stolen from them. There's something screwy with your logic. I just know it. Wojin stood, scratching his head. Miss, Are you going to be all right with these two would-be lawbreakers, or do I have to hang around and incriminate myself?
I think I'll be okay, Toff said, surprised. I think I'll be fine.
She listened to Zuko, tracking every shift of breath and posture.
You really mean it. You're gonna help. No strings.
One string, Zuko corrected, taking out a rustle of paper. This is for Sokka. It's some stuff I know about the city. Maybe it'll help him make up his mind to get out of here.
Toph took the letter, folding it inside her belt. If he knows it's from you, he's not gonna listen.
Zuko snorted. I didn't sign it.
Not bad, Toph approved. Though I'm guessing there's more than one string.
She paused deliberately.
You want me to come with you alone, without the guys?
You know them better than we, Iroh said plainly. Would they accept our aid? Or instead, reveal us for what we are and doom us all?
Not sure I want to find out, Toph admitted.
Okay, I'm in. What's the plan? Huojin cleared his throat loudly. Leaving! Now!
Wait, Zuko said, a quiet, lonely plea.
Toph, I know they wouldn't believe me.
He swallowed.
Why do you?
Because you never lied to me, Toph said bluntly. I know who you are and who Uncle is. I know you have honor no matter what the Fire Nation thinks. If you didn't, you never would have warned us about your crazy sister.
She had to look away, even if she couldn't see.
The Beifongs deal with Fire Nation merchants. You don't talk about fights inside the clan. Not to outsiders. They're not worth it. But you? You owed Katara, and you paid up.
She turned back to him. You treated her like she had honor, even if she was an outsider. Even if she was Water Tribe.
The Earthbender held out a hand.
Told you. I'm in.
The fingers that gripped hers were warm and strong, and barely trembling with relief.
Agreed.